Hello and welcome to the Movielicious, the show where we talk about movies and have general fun. This is episode number 22 for March 11th, 2010. And welcome to the Movielicious, the show where we talk about movies sometimes and also have a lot of fun with myself, Patrick Beja, and Terpster and Nicole Spag. How's
Hi.
It going, people?
We only have general. First, it was general fun, and now it's a ton of fun.
I think it's a ton of general fun.
A ton of general fun.
I have specific fun on the Movielicious. I love Thursdays. Thursdays are awesome because we record the Movielicious and then the Vampire Diaries is on as well. So,
is it? Excellent. Yeah, and you know who else is here? The chat room.
Yay, yes. Chat room.
Hey, yay.
Hey, woo. Chat room. How are you doing? Is that how you meant to say it? I don't know.
What? No, I don't know. I just meant, yeah. And thank you, everyone, for being here for the live recording of this one show. You can have more information about joining us in the chat room on the website that we will tell you more about at the end of the show. And some people are asking for a how's it going, everyone, in the chat channel. So I can't resist. all right. You know what? We have two movies we want to talk about today. They are Alice in Wonderland and Shutter Island, both of which have been seen by only two of us.
Mm.
That's
the riddle. That is, you've got to figure out who saw what.
And before we get to that, I want to talk about something else, which is possibly even more important than the movies, and that is the movie poster that Kishel did for us for this episode. Yes. I certainly hope that everyone in the chat room and listening has seen it. If you haven't, then you should. Well,
some of her best work.
Oh, without doubt. Incredible. It's
absolutely wonderful. And I want to say that I'm very thankful for her making me and Terpster so good looking.
Mm.
it's quite a feat. I'm very appreciative of
which
of
one
that.
Are you, Patrick? Tweedle?
I'm Tweedledee.
Dumb. I'm
Tweedledee or Dumb. Which one are you?
You know, the fact that I had to think so long about this one means that I'm probably Tweedledum.
What I like about it though as well is she slimmed us both down a bit, which is always nice on a poster. You look at it and you think, oh, hello.
Yeah, it does look a little bit, you know, we're not super, super slim, but it's also because we have stripes and that makes
us
look better.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, a little bit. And I'd be happy with that. I'll put that up as a Facebook photo.
Actually, yeah, it might be a good idea. And of course, the Red Queen is Nicole and quite fetching, might I say.
It's your head.
I've always thought you had a big head. So
so there you go. If you want.
And bright red hair.
Exactly.
She integrated me in that almost creepy. It's so creepy. It's like, wait.
It's not creepy at all. Have a costume that I use for leisure that makes me look like this. And I won't say anything more about that. all right. Let's get into the show with why not start with Alice in Wonderland since we just talked about it a little bit.
Well, I'm curious, have we all seen Alice in Wonderland?
Well, no. I was certain it was coming out yesterday in France, and it actually hasn't. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, I couldn't see it. What?
I'm just saying it's bourgeois. It's very bourgeois.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I will take your word for it. I am being bourgeois.
No, they are, by not bringing it out.
Oh, right. Yes, they are. And by that, they make me not being able to see it. So you guys will have to be 1.5% as funny and cool reviewing it, because I'm not part of this.
Don't put
review.
The pressure on. I'm freaking out a little bit.
I can give you my impressions of Alice in Wonderland, though, without having seen it.
Hello, so first of all, I'm Johnny Depp. No, that was a rubbish impression.
So Tim Burton directed Alice in Wonderland, the famous Lewis Carroll novel books, blah, 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 all that. I don't think we need to say a lot more about this. But my impression when I saw the trailers, from the first time I saw the trailers, my impression was, how many times can Tim Burton make the same movie? And how many times can we go watch that movie over and over again? I realize that a lot of people are very excited because Tim Burton's aesthetic is probably very well suited to an enjoyable rendition of Alice in Wonderland.
Well, anything odd. I mean, if you just want to see an odd telling of a story, whether it's Sleepy Hollow or...
Sure, but in the case of Alice in Wonderland, it's even more appropriate, I think.
Yeah,
it's
at
that, you know, frontier between a fairy tale and a very trippy adult story, you know. Mm. Even with that, I wasn't fully, you know... really excited about the movie because of that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and all the other movies that Tim Burton seems to... We've seen his style. And at this point, it seems like he's repeating himself. And even Johnny Depp looks a little bit like one of his characters that we've seen already. Helena Bonham Carter is... probably good in the movie, but again, she always has
I didn't like her in the movie.
Well, Patrick's pretty much summing it up there for me. I'm quite worried. I'm thinking like, shit, that's really good. But yeah.
All right, so that was my
impression. So why don't you recap what the plot of the movie is? Because it's not Alice in Wonderland as we know it. It's
is it? Well, I don't really know.
Return to Wonderland.
Oh. She comes back. Yeah, it's a totally different storyline.
Okay, that's interesting.
Alice is now... 19 years old, and she is plagued with, you know, dreams of Wonderland as, you know, after she came back, I guess, and it picks up around that time when she's 19 and she's supposed to, she's expected to do a lot of things in her life, and then she gets taken back into Wonderland, and that's where we kind of follow her through her journey and her remembering and things
so
like that.
Does she live in the modern world before she goes? Oh,
well,
okay.
It's Victorian times, so just
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So, Terpster, I saw your tweet, so I know how you felt about the movie.
Well, I might have been cryptic in my tweets. So I might have known you were going to see them and I'd thrown a red herring out there. So you'd be all like, oh, whoa, I can't believe you thought that. Or maybe, oh, brilliant, we thought the same thing. You know, but you know, who knows?
For me, I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed the story. For the first time, the CGI... actually hurt the movie for me.
Really?
The CGI was so bad in some places that I just was like, ooh, okay, I'm just going to ignore that and keep moving along with the story. Because I was
kind
of like,
it seemed like it had an amazing, pretty good CGI, you know?
But, there was parts, that had, but then there were some that for me was just awful. Crispin Glover's in it, and like
I kept expecting. I thought to be he like was George like a McFly.
I know. I was expecting him to be kind of because there are normal type people. What's her name? The White Queen, Anne Hathaway. Yeah. She's she's a normal person, but she's just she has white hair. There's nothing odd about her.
Annoyed me. She just kept her hands up. She did that like typical fairy princess.
That was the point of her.
I know. That just annoyed me. I thought, well, fair enough. She was a bit quirky. She's got a giant head, and you can't put your arms down.
She was waving in the princess way. Like,
well, no, you know how princesses, they kind of like they hold their hands up like they're presenting. think of Price is Right kind of stuff.
Yeah, it looks, you know, like she's calling out the rounds at a boxing game. Okay. You know, a boxing match. Like going around, oh, round two. She's still got her arms in the air, only she's not wearing a bikini. So I was like, that's rubbish.
She's always keeping up appearances to be like dainty.
The thing that I felt that the CG didn't get in the way of the story. I felt the story got in the way of the story because it was the most convoluted thing I've ever seen in a cinema. Like, I honestly, because Tim Burton, he has moments of, you know, relative genius. Like, some of his films have been honestly enjoyable. They are always quirky, and that's part of their charm. This one, though, was almost like Tim Burton was trying to do Tim Burton, but failing at it. And it was like he's trying to be something that he wasn't or that it shouldn't have been. And it was just tripping over itself the whole time. And it's just like,
well, you know that the story was written before Tim Burton was even part of it, right?
Well, isn't the series, the Alice in Wonderland series, doesn't it include several books?
Probably. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's Through the Looking Glass. There's two hole. Books. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't. I mean, I don't know if this. I didn't do my research well enough, apparently.
Okay, so it's not based off. It's not based off one of the sequels to Alice in Wonderland.
I think it's definitely based in the world. For example, the Jabberwocky was a kind of a nonsense thing that Carol did in, I think, in a book of, I think it was in a book of poetry, but I think it might have been in some of the stories as well. And he basically, Alice's kind of return to Wonderland is to slay this Jabberwocky, or that's why they brought her there. And the Jabberwocky is this big, scary dragon that the Red Queen uses to intimidate those around her to keep her power. It's, again, there's one word that can sum up why this film sucked terribly, and it's called fudderwhacking. those who've seen the film, when you see the fudderwhacking happen, You seriously just like you're just Wait, wondering like what why
what is fudderwhacking?
Fudderwhacking, for those who haven't seen the film, is a very strange dance involving a huge amount of CGI and just a seemingly pointless addition, really, for no other reason than to be like, we're really quirky. I don't even think there were kids in the theatre, and I didn't hear them kind of roar with laughter or even seemingly give a damn. It's similarly copied at the end. Alice decides when she's back in the real world to do her own little fudderwhacking. And again, it's just like awkward. It's just everyone's looking, thinking like, what the hell are you doing? You've really lost it. That was just the film for me was all about that. Just loads of events that just felt awkward and just didn't really need to be there. I didn't think it was enjoyable for anyone, but
I enjoyed the movie. I mean, I went into this because here's the thing. I went into the movie going, oh, everyone's hating on this movie, and I tried
the little guy.
No, I tried to keep an open mind and not expect too much from the movie. I really enjoy Tim Burton's quirky style, so if you enjoy his kind of quirky style, you'll probably like this movie.
See, I think that's true. I think you'd be let down if you like Tim Burton's movies, because I know lots of people like Tim Burton's movies. I myself, you know, I'm not a massive fan, but I do enjoy some of them. And I think most people will just be like, well, what the hell, Tim? What have you done? Because this isn't up to par. This isn't Burton.
I'm just saying it's his best work, but I'm saying it wasn't. I'm just saying it wasn't a lame.
Okay, so, is it up to par on the artistic, you know, department?
No, I mean, there's some nice additions. But then some of it, again, just seems like over the top. And I get it's a kid's film. It's Disney. It felt more mainstream than it should have been as well. I don't know, like Johnny Depp's character just breaking into this strong Scottish accent every now and then. I kind of get the whole schizophrenic thing going. But it just really didn't work. It was just trying to be more than it should have been the whole time. Mm. And that's the thing. It was really tiring to watch something. And, you know, had I not, you know, if I'd gone and
did
seen
you like
it for
Alice?
Free, I would have walked
did,
out.
Yeah, did you like Alice?
Wait a second. Wait a second. You would have walked out?
If I hadn't paid for it, I would have walked out because it was that boring in places, and there was just no. Again, it was a kids film. It's a real kids film, and that's the problem. Is it's been marketed as a sort of kind of it's Disney and it's Alice in Wonderland. But if you like Tim Burton, I just think like if you want a Tim Burton film that's kind of quirky but at the same time with it, then I think there's a lot more. I mean, obviously the early stuff, Edward Scissorhands, even, Sweeney Todd. There's better Burton films out there than this. And I think that this, for trying to appeal to people who like Burton, I don't think it's enough there. And then trying to appeal to people who don't like Burton, there's still enough Burton in there for you not to like it. So I just think it kind of alienates everyone. But that might be just my perspective.
And I wish I wasn't feeling sick today.
Go ahead, you can do it, Nicole.
Destroy his argument. I don't have a lot of energy to fight Terpster today because I totally disagree. I'm going to disagree with you because I left the movie going, that wasn't that bad. I really had a nice time.
Down the aisle,
I'm going to agree with you on the futter whacking. They built that up too much throughout the story to not have him do that would have been, they should have just left it out. Like it wasn't even needed. So they built it up earlier on in the story. So of course they had to come through with what was
even
Futterwhack.
When it actually happened, it wasn't even a crescendo. It was just like, boom, Futterwhacking, done. And I was thinking like, whoa, easy. We could have had everyone joining in. I mean, there were some gems to it. Stephen Fry's character as the Cheshire Cat, looked fantastic. Absolutely fantastic as it popped in and out, and just the whole look of the cat was incredible, and then the voice acting on top of that, brilliant, loved it. Unfortunately, that's the only thing in there I can say kind of speak positively of. Maybe Helena Bonham Carter as the Red Queen was quite endearing at times, quite funny, especially early on. But Crispin Glover, George McFly, to the Back to the Future people out there, just felt like George McFly the whole time. And it was really
awkward. And again, the CGI was at times
Nicole, you're really not doing a good job at defending this movie.
No, because he was really awkward. And that's the kind of thing he played in Back to the Future. And obviously he's done other things, but he'll always be George McFly to me. And unfortunately in this, I just kept expecting him to like punch Biff, but Biff wasn't there.
Didn't he play a role in the Charlie's Angels movie? And again,
you see
George McFly with the sword.
He was also the Grendel in Beowulf, which I found kind of funny. But anyway,
all right, let's give Nicole a couple of minutes because apparently she's not.
You're bullying me, Terpster.
She's not all there. I'm sorry. Jeez. I'll leave it.
It's all right. It's okay.
I'm lying. It's a fantastic film, guys.
I can see why you didn't like it. I mean, here's my thing. I really enjoyed the story. Even though you didn't like it, I enjoyed the story. I liked the idea of the story of Alice in Wonderland extending. And it really was about her finding herself and coming to terms with her becoming an adult. And this was her journey through that. And yeah, there was a lot of kind of off the wall things, but I just chalked it up. This is Wonderland. So it's going to be weird and wonky in certain places. So I'm just saying, I really enjoyed the story. I had fun with it. I didn't take it too seriously. I liked it. I'm going to give it a woot. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
I'll give it a woot. I left the movie theater going, oh, that was fun. Yeah, there was some corny places, but I overlooked them. I don't know why, but I just overlooked them.
Well, some people are agreeing with you in the chat room, so.
Well, that's fair enough. And for all those people, I do ask you that you do at least seek medical help just to check. It's better safe than sorry, is all I can say, because for me, this is undoubtedly a lame. The film, like I said, it's so many shades of wrong, without enough little gems in there to keep it from, venturing into meh.
I will say that I was on the border. I mean, it's a low woot for, it's a high meh.
A woot minus, if you will.
All right, fair enough. Well, I will say one thing about, well, two things about the movie. First of all, fudder whacking sounds like some kind of deviant sexual behavior.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, when you're talking about, like, you know, the Mad Hatter being, like, the best fudder whacker out there, I was like, well, fair enough, you know.
It's
that's,
Johnny
I guess
Depp.
That's what you do. You know, all he does is drink tea all day. He's got to have something else to keep him busy. But again, and it's just awkward. Like I said, the whole film, you just cringe. Because,
and the second thing, the second thing is, I don't think I'm going to go see this movie. It sounds like it's even worse than what I thought it was going to be.
Did you watch it in 3D, Terpster?
I saw it in 2D.
I did too, and I think I probably would
say 3D was the amazing.
No,
because again, there were loads of cheesy bits, like when she was falling down the rabbit.
Yeah, and there was a point
coming straight to you, and I was thinking, if I was in 3D, I'd probably be impressed right now. But this is just lame.
If I was, if I think I had watched it in 3D, I might even not have liked it.
Oh, really?
Because there was one part where Crispin Glover pointed, and I'm like, oh, that would have been so cheesy in 3D.
Razim in the chat room is saying that he did like it in 3D. So
he did?
Yeah. Obviously, the chat room completely disagrees with you.
That's all right.
Well, that's why they're in the chat room, and I'm on the
3D
show.
Just, 3D, in my opinion, can be done well, like Avatar, and I can think it can be done poorly.
Yeah, but if you
and in most movies,
yeah. The thing is, yes, pretty much every movie until Avatar was mostly a poor use of 3D because it was gimmicky. So
yeah, and I think there's a lot of gimmicks 3D wise in Alice in Wonderland.
All right, I guess we have murdered this poor movie enough for an evening. Even
Cursor, you're not getting anywhere on your woots rating.
I know. Well, the thing is I'm just going to go through. I know we've got some good films coming up, or at least I'm hoping they're good. And they're just going to be. That's just going to be Wootsville for me. Everyone's just going to be like, "Oh,
the,
what? Not another one?" And I'll be like,
you have the
"Damn
name
right."
Of the show.
Yeah.
Terpster, or Patrick, you have the name of the show, Wootsville.
I don't call it Wootsville because they're going to think Alice in Wonderland's a woot when it's not.
Not this one.
I'm thinking of fudder whacking. But we'll see. Shutter Island is the other movie we're talking about. Wow, I have a feeling this show is going to be really short.
No, I've got loads to talk about my recommendal.
Ah, okay, cool.
I don't, but we make up stuff, so don't worry.
We will. All right, so Shutter Island is obviously a movie by Martin Scorsese, who is quite a prolific director.
He's done a few things.
A couple of things, yeah. Just a few. Raging Bull. More recently, things like The Goodfellas, Casino, Gangs of New York, and a number of other movies that you will obviously remember without us having to tell you about them. And it stars in an actor that I really, really enjoy, even though I've enjoyed him for... even when people were poo-pooing him, and that's, of course, Leonardo DiCaprio. And there are a number of others, other great actors like Ben Kingsley, Mark Ruffalo, and that's it, I guess, for on the known side. And it's the story of a marshal who goes to an insane asylum on an island, a secluded island, where one of the patients has disappeared, and the patients on this island thing are all dangerous criminals. So it's sort of this claustrophobic slash mystery slash that's
thriller.
About it.
It's a thriller.
Yeah, it's a thriller. Exactly.
I can't believe you didn't mention Jackie Earl Haley, isn't it? You know who that is, right?
No.
Rorschach from Watchmen.
Oh, I didn't even realize who it was.
That's
he
a
has
bit.
Such a
was
small
he wearing a
part.
Mask?
No, he has a very small part in the, in the movie. But yeah, so basically the first reaction you get when you hear about this this cast and this, you know, the movie in general is, holy crap, so many great names, it cannot be bad. And then you watch the trailer, and at least for me, it's like, oh, it looks very generic, kind of. That was my impression at first. But since I'm a gentleman, I'm going to let Nicole go first and tell us what she thought of the movie.
Sure. So I had been looking forward to this movie since last year. They were originally going to release it last year, and then all of a sudden they pulled it and then backed it all the way to February, and was like, wait a minute, it was actually being pushed earlier on, then for some reason I have no idea why.
Usually that means re-editing.
Oh yeah,
and it's not a good sign at all. But
that's what I thought. So I really had, again, some low expectations for the movie because I was thinking, well, they probably delayed it. It probably didn't test well. Mm-hmm. So the whole premise of the movie, so I really didn't know. Here's the thing. We should tell the audience that we should not put in any spoilers. I don't think, because this is the kind of movie that you can't really talk too much about because it'll give away
the plot of the movie. Yeah.
Yes. So basically, the tag.
Is it?
Nah. Well, let's, you know.
The problem is, by saying there's a twist, then you're going to expect the twist. Yeah. So
there's a twist. Okay.
The tagline of the movie is "Someone's missing," and that's the whole point. That Leonardo DiCaprio's character and his partner Chuck are there to basically, because this is a federal psychiatric facility. In the background of Leonardo DiCaprio, he was, so this was in 1954, and he used to be in the military, and he keeps flashing back to at a concentration camp that he went, and they saved a bunch of Jews in the concentration camp. So you get a bunch of flashbacks as he's kind of going through this. There's a big storm. I'm just going to say... I wasn't expecting the ending. Like, I thought, oh, they're going to change something else. And then it changed again. And so the ending for me, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the process that he went through. It kept me guessing. I'm like, what's going on? Because they're dealing with mental people. So you don't know, are they crazy? Are they not crazy? Did they say they're saying they're crazy, but maybe they're not? And it's just, it was just a lot of,
it seems that it's very easy to keep you guessing. It's like, I'm not. Maybe I am.
You had to follow the story. I mean, you really had to pay attention. But you really had to pay attention. Terpster,
we know that you are crazy. Yeah, that's not, you know.
And after the movie ended, this was the kind of movie that kept me thinking about the movie, and Mark and I talked about it even more. For me, those are the types of kind of engaging movies that I really do enjoy. And I was like, you know, I really want to watch this again, because if you really pay attention to the slightest little things, you can see what's happening. So in retrospect, after the movie ended, I'm like, oh, that's why he did that. And oh, okay, that made sense. So for me, I enjoyed the movie. It was a little much with the music at the beginning. I don't know if that bothered you as they're
Holy
driving
crap,
up.
This is the worst soundtrack in a movie
It was
ever.
Terrible.
I'm it like, was horrible. And I remember I said on Twitter that I was going to see the movie, and someone answered that they loved the soundtrack. And I was like, how can you love this soundtrack? It's the most horrible, terrible, taking you out of everything and going, drilling into your head. It's like
okay,
this.
We're just driving up to the place. Okay, nothing crazy is happening.
Yeah,
but they were trying to manipulate your anticipation for what
it's
was
basically
going.
The kind of music that is shouting at you, something incredible is happening, something amazing is happening, and you're watching the screen, and they're like on a boat. And it's almost like, I'm on a boat. No, it's not. But,
yeah. So. And then happened earlier on. So, I forgot about it later on. But I did notice that. And I'm like, what is going on with this crazy music this early in the movie? I really enjoyed, Michelle Williams' character. She was the wife of Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. And you kind of follow, he has visions of her. She's dead, and she kind of guides him through this whole story. It's interesting. And so you're still trying to figure out as you're going through the story, what's really happening and the person that they're looking for. And I like the movie, so I'm not going to say much else because I don't want to give much else away, but I liked it just for the simple fact that it stuck with me after the movie ended and I thought more about it, and I liked how it ended. So woot.
Okay. Okay, first of all, the best way to spoil a movie that you shouldn't spoil is to say you shouldn't spoil it, because if you say you're going to spoil it, then you spoil it. It's like, but everyone is doing that, and it's driving me crazy. Yeah. Everyone is saying, oh, I figured it out in the first 25 minutes. You can't say that. That is the thing that makes
people...
That's
only if you know there's something to be figured out. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And if you know that there's something... So I'm not, you know, blaming you for this, although maybe a little bit, but that's the kind of thing that you shouldn't say. Yeah. Okay, that's out of the way. But, and as I said, everyone is saying this. My impression of the movie is that it's very somewhat similar to something I said about The Box that we reviewed a few months back.
Mm-hmm. Don't compare this to The Box.
No, but no, wait, you'll see where I'm going.
Okay.
No, it's not as bad. But
should have finished earlier than it did.
Well, not exactly. It's basically a... So The Box was a 30-minute movie that got extended by 1 hour extra that didn't really make any sense. And this is a 30-minute story with a whole bunch of trippy, on-mushroom bits in the middle that make it longer than it should be. It really, all these things in the middle really don't have any reason for being there. It's just a thing where you're like, oh, it's getting crazy. And
well, no, you're learning his backstory too. I mean,
all of this could have been done in 30 minutes. And it's a 2 hours and 10 minutes movie.
Was it really that long?
Well, let me check, because I
It didn't feel that long to me.
It felt that long to me. let me check exactly how
I'm
long.
Sensing the score.
Wait a second. Shutter Island. Where
this is going to be the twist, though, here. It's when Patrick turns around and said, actually, I loved it.
It's 138 minutes.
How much?
138 minutes.
So over 2 hours.
Yeah. Two hours, 20 minutes.
Wow, that didn't feel like 2 hours to me.
It felt like 2 hours. It's and it's not even showing in the main theater that it was showing on the in Paris, like the one I went to see it in. It's not even showing there anymore. It's showing in another one that's much smaller, which means it's probably not being very successful. 2 hours and 17 minutes. Holy crap, it didn't need to be that long. I will give you 50 minutes maybe, but... The whole, it's like, it's such an easy, it's sort of messing with your mind, for lack of a dirtier word, but in such an easy way. It's like, he gets in front of a doctor, and the doctor kind of has a German accent, and he's like, oh, you're German, and so you're doing this, and you're doing that, and the German dude is like looking at him funny, and like, yes, it makes sense, but... It's unnecessary in the movie. I don't know if I'm making myself...
No, because you can't really go into it. I mean...
No, but it's just when you watch it, the thing is, it doesn't matter that there is a reason behind what's happening. If it's not enjoyable, then it's not enjoyable. And in this movie, there is a lot of meandering and prolonging the story of the movie with no reason.
But I think the middle part was important because it really connected you with Leo's character, and you for me, I was rooting for him. I wanted him to at the end for all of this to be like the optimal ending. I'm picking my words very carefully here. My point is that middle part was needed for me to attach myself to his character as he went through this journey. And that is what is most important in this movie, is for you to kind of be with and look through his eyes as you go through this process.
I would say I might have agreed if it wasn't such a crappy movie. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I understand the intent. I'm just saying that he failed at making me care about these characters and mm-hmm. what's happening.
You know,
there are a couple of gripping scenes, and it's a movie that is going for the aesthetic and even the intellectual aesthetic mm-hmm. of, you know, the process, but it's not held up by a strong foundation. So, well, I guess that's...
Well, agree to disagree.
That's
really...
boring. You shouldn't agree. You should fight to the death.
Have the energy to take.
Yeah, that's
too
bad.
Patrick, you can do it then. She's already conceded.
You're giving it a woot?
I'm giving it a woot. It's the kind of movie that... anytime a movie... really sticks with me after the fact. I just keep going back, keep thinking about the movie, wanting to see the movie again, in the sense that it kind of messes with your mind a little bit. I like those.
So
I like those type movies. Those are something that's interesting to me. It's engaging. I like the story. I like the characters. I like the movie.
Yeah, I like a lot of the Scorsese movie. This is one that I'm sure he thought, I could do this. It's a great idea. I'm a genius director, and I can do it. And I think he failed, and I suspect that even him thought, that didn't really turn out the way I thought it would.
I don't know. But you're kind of putting a lot of guessing in that.
No, I know all of this for a fact.
You know him. You know him personally.
For a fact.
You call him up and say, oh yeah, Patrick,
I really messed up on this one.
Really, that's just crap. Let me give you your $9 back. I apologize.
Well, he could be friends for an hour. I quite like the idea of like him phoning up Patrick, and Patrick's all like, hey, Marty, what's up? And he's all like, yo, I need help, man. I made a terrible film, and I need... could you just give me a woot on the show? Because people listen to you guys... It'll help me out. And I'm like, whoa, hang on. I think I need to be in The Departed 2, though, because that's what's going to happen. And then you're on to a winner there. That
would
be good.
That would have been a better move than this one, yes. Or I could pretend that it was my integrity that dictated that I don't, you know, do that kind of deal. I want to ask the chat room, if you have seen... Shutter Island, would you give it a W for woot or an L for lame?
Or an M for meh.
Oh, Patrick doesn't believe in those.
I think Knowledge Blocks, he's seen the movie, but I don't know. See? He gave
woot.
It a woot.
Oh, he gave it a woot.
And then
Razim is giving it an M. Fang is giving it an M. M for Sarah Dwin. Wow. Okay.
Well, you take a woot, you take a lame, they equal a meh.
Yeah. I guess I'm being a little bit too harsh, and you're being a little bit too kind.
Nice.
And you know what? I know. We are going to use this wonderful Dungeon and Dragons dice roller.
Here we go.
That Durfster gave us. To decide the quality of this movie.
I got a 4. That's terrible.
Wait. I have to do it.
I don't, but I'm just saying, yeah. I got a 4.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
So I'm going to do this on a D20, and we are going to see what happens. And I am even going to place the webcam in front of the website.
Here we
go. That everyone
Come
can
on
see what's
one.
Happening.
Come on, one.
So I'm going to go in 3, 2, 1, click. 18! Holy poop! 18! Oh. Look at
Does
this.
Does that mean that's a woot?
Yeah, it's a super woot. I guess.
Whoa. So you're giving... You don't give mez, but you're going to give a woot based on a dice roll.
No. I'm not... My score is a lame. Right. I'm not changing that. I'm just saying that the gods of the Dungeons & Dragons and the internets decided that it was an 18. So a woot. So
I have to agree with it. And I think Knowledge Plox is right. I thought it was a really good film. I just I like those kind of mind, think right. about it type movies. Patrick, yeah. apparently you don't like to think when you go
hey,
to the movie.
Hey, you know what we could do with this? yeah, I don't like to think. It's too much work. What we could do with this dice roller thing is rate the quality of your review and rate the quality of my review.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Sure. Okay, your review's quality is...
I can tell you it's probably not going to be
14.
Good.
No, it's good. 14
is not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, and my
you
reviews...
You probably have a quite a strong hit there.
Yeah, and my review's quality is 13. Well, I guess what
it's a glancing
we're
blow.
Right. oh, well. Okay, I guess that's it for our reviews, our official reviews for the week, not the week, the 2 weeks. And we are going to go over to the recommendals. And Yay. By the way, I don't know if you guys listen to Upload. No, not the Upload. App Slappy. I confuse the two sometimes. App Slappy. And,
I do as well. They're very similar.
Eric from App Slappy did hear us taunting him and telling him to make a little introduction for the recommendals.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does listen to the show. So you hereby, I am apologizing to Eric for.
So is he making this one, or is he just saying that I heard it, but I'm not going to do it?
I don't know if he will, but anyway, if he did, it would be kind of a pain to play it all the time. So
yeah,
I guess. But no, if you make it, we will play it. But you don't have to.
Recommendals, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
There you go.
And you know, for that. You get the first spot.
Yay.
In the recommendations.
Okay. This week, I don't know why I'm choosing this film. It's not a new film. It's not an old film. It's just a film. It's an animated film. And it's a Studio Ghibli film. It's actually my favorite Studio Ghibli film. And people will be quite shocked because it's not Spirited Away, which is most people's favorite Studio Ghibli film. It's Howl's
Kiki.
Moving Castle.
Oh.
Oh, no. Anyway, Howl's Moving Castle. It's a fantastic film. It's an animated adventure. Basically, it's about this girl called Sophie. She meets this guy, this wizard, should I say, called Howl. Basically, he lives in a moving castle. And they go on fantastic little kind of journey. It's a bit trippy. It's a really good film. Beautifully kind of animated. Really kind of magical story. There's a English kind of dub version as well. And I think Howl's played by Christian Bale. So that's always a winner there. He doesn't play it like Batman, though. He just plays it like Christian Bale. And it's just a really, really, really kind of fun, kind of really heartfelt film. And with animated films, you don't tend to see that as well as you do in a film like Howl's Moving Castle. If you've seen recently Ponyo, that's been out for, I think, the Americans for quite a while. It's
a few months, yeah.
Out here as well in the UK. It's the same director, but it's I think Howl's a better film.
Well,
but anyway.
The thing with Miyazaki's films is that they sort of have a Tim Burton quality to them, in which they sort of have similar styles and even themes. So if you've seen, you know, the first one is very enjoyable. Second one, it's still good. Third one, very, you know, interesting also. By the fourth or the fifth one, you're sort of tired. But if you've never seen, you know...
Yeah, maybe. No, I think you might be right, really. It's a little bit like Final Fantasy. Once you played one, you played them all, but yet you still probably play them all again anyway. I think it's one of those kind of films and those styles and stories that while it does get old, it doesn't get old, if that makes any sense. But I think in terms of animated films, if you want something that's a little bit out there without being too indie, I think it's a really, really nice film to watch. And it's about as mainstream as kind of this sort of independent theatre is kind of get, at least Western-wise. So it's a real good laugh to kind of watch. And there's a whole library of them as well. So like Patrick's saying, once you've seen this one, you can see it again just with different characters. I would say
that my favorite Miyazaki film is probably Kiki's Delivery Service.
Really?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I don't know. I like this and
it's less,
the Totoro one. I like My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah, Totoro is really the seminal Miyazaki film. If you can only see one, then maybe Totoro is the one.
I still think Howl's is the one to watch, but I don't know. I just like giant moving kind of ship castle thingies.
And by the way, I haven't seen it, so
you need to. Okay. It's fantastic. It's got Billy Crystal as a kind of a elemental.
Oh, shut up! If I see it, and by the way, that stands for everyone here. You have to see it in Japanese.
Yeah, no, you have to see this one though, just for Christian Bale and Billy Crystal.
Oh, well, okay. I probably won't, but no, it's one of those things. You know, a lot of people ask me, Patrick, how come you're so good looking? No, I'm kidding. A lot of people ask me...
Because I don't see it. What's that about?
No, but you know, sometimes people say, well, but you know, in English, it's like this and like that, and the French things are cool too. Why do you like English so much, and why can't you watch stuff in French? It's really not just about it being in English. It's about being in the original version.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So if I watch something that's been made, you know, that was done in Japanese... I will watch it in Japanese, even, you know, the fact that I speak the language doesn't have anything to do with it. If I watch something that's Chinese or Korean or whatever, you have to watch it in the original language.
There's one exception to this, and that is some kung fu films. Badly dubbed kung fu films are actually better because they are badly dubbed.
I agree.
But yeah,
and by the way, if you want to watch something truly hilarious in that vein, you have to watch the latest Film Riot, which is a podcast about making films. And it's one of the best entertainment things you will ever see. Film Riot is fantastic. There you go. All right. By the way, Scott in the chat room is saying that you are bad.
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't want to kind of honor it with a response there.
Yeah, I think
he's like a terrorist in our channel, just trying to. If by acknowledging him, we give him power against his action. I have to say that
I do resent that constant belittling of your proud British heritage.
Exactly. So. How would you like it if people did that to you, Patrick, about being French? I know they don't.
Don't they but always? They did,
oh.
But, and by the way, I had a thought about this at one point. I can't remember which one of your podcasts I was listening to. But at some point you were like saying something about France and you all went like, ho, 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 yes, baguette or something like that. And you know, I thought, yeah, exactly. And I thought it would be the equivalent of if someone mentioned something about someone being American, all of a sudden everyone in the conversation would go, yeehaw,
woo, yeehaw. It was like,
but in fairness, I think Scott's the biggest perpetrator of this. If you listen to any of Scott's podcasts, the second anything comes up, Scott just turns on the stereotype. I was listening to The Instance, and I think they're chatting about England, and if anything, I'll be honest here, I get a little bit hurt when they talk about England and don't mention me. But I think that's just more me than anything else. But yeah, it just happens.
And by the way, just to make things clear, a lot of people on Formspring were asking me if I resent the fact that people make fun of France whenever we're talking, and I absolutely don't. It's really just done all in good faith and in good humor, so it's just a lot of fun, and I like it more than
likewise,
I just like it.
But with England and Britain.
So you like it when people talk about crumpets and tea.
Oh yeah, because that's who I am. That's part of who I am.
Yeah. Absolutely,
I've always said it'd be really weird if I ever like moved to America and had kids, and my kids had American accents. That would freak me out. They wouldn't be my kids, would they?
You'd just make fun of them, wouldn't you?
Exactly. I'd be like, yeah, whatever, Yankee, yeehaw. Exactly. Yeah, brilliant. Yankee Doodle, I'd call them. I'd have Yankee and Doodle, two sons. And I'd say, Yankee Doodle, tea's ready. And then they'd come down, oh, not hamburgers again. I say, you're American and you will eat it. And there you go.
All right. On that note, I think we are going to move to Nicole's recommendal.
Okay. So the Oscars just happened on Sunday.
You don't say.
I know. Can you believe it? We missed it.
Nicole, well done, by the way, for bigging up the movie Licious on East Meets West, because That's always welcome.
I was bummed you guys couldn't join, but I...
I was up. I was just smoking a cigar going, the Oscars are on. I wonder if I've won anything. I didn't. But yeah.
So,
Yeah, so, it was really podcasting extravaganza this
it
week.
Was.
You were on East Meets West with Scott and everyone else was... Anyway, okay, keep going.
So anyway, for those that aren't aware of the winner for Best Picture... interestingly enough, I had the Oscar iPhone app, which really didn't work on the day of the Oscars, which kind of stunk. It got, I guess, hit too much and the servers went down. But anyway, I went back and they polled everyone on what they thought their pick for Best Picture. Over 55% said Avatar. And unfortunately, Avatar didn't win.
55% are wrong, exactly.
Exactly.
It's not the Best Picture. It's a fantastic visual experience, which it won out on. But in terms of story... terrible.
So the movie that won was actually The Hurt Locker, but my second pick, I picked Avatar, but if I didn't pick Avatar, I would have picked the movie I'm going to pick as my recommendal, which is Precious. This movie is out on DVD in the United States. I don't know if it's out for you guys.
It's probably not, no.
But... I saw it in Netflix and I put it in my queue, but this movie is probably one of the more powerful movies I've seen in a really long time. The story is about a girl named Precious. She's overweight. She's a teenager. She's already had one kid who has Down syndrome and they call him mongoloid. She's in a really bad situation. Just awful. Monique is her mother, who is abusive. Monique actually won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. And
you tell who Monique is?
Even though she was abusive, that's terrible. They're just encouraging people now, aren't they? Giving them prizes.
Monique is a comedian. Have you guys ever heard her stand up?
So no. I see her sit down there at awards ceremonies.
She's a very crass. Comedian, but she's really funny and her comedy is very like kind of this is me and this is how it is kind of stuff. But anyway, she's in this movie. She plays an amazing role and you definitely will see why she won the Oscar because of this role. Mariah Carey is in it in a very small part.
I'm there.
She looks horrible, but she plays a social worker. So
does she sing in it? Is she a social worker who wants to be a pop star and she has a dream? Like really high. I'm like, you could be a pop star. And then it turns into Dreamgirls. Brilliant. I love that film. Let's do it.
Someone that I recognize, but it didn't, like for some reason, I'm like, wow, he looks so familiar to me. And I didn't realize it was him until I went to IMDb. Lenny Kravitz. Is in this movie, the singer Lenny Kravitz, which
did he
absolutely...
have a dream of being a pop star?
No,
you can't be mean, Terpser. Not today.
This is such a serious. I mean, this is a very, very serious movie.
I'm gonna watch it and then feel really bad about all of these. I'm like, oh my god, how could I compare Lenny Kravitz and Mariah Carey to pop stars? Look at them; they're actors.
And by the way, I reviewed the trailer for this movie a while ago with John on Negative Colors, and it was, you know, on that date night with John and Patrick.
Oh, this is a terrible date.
And yeah, so basically, our conclusion was, whatever you do, don't go watch this movie on date night, ever.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, baby.
But,
I almost didn't want to watch it. Period, just because I knew it was going to be a very heavy topic movie, and
this is how I feel about the movie.
But I will say, after seeing it, yes, it is a heavier topic, but it's a really good story, and I don't know, it wasn't as depressing as I thought it was going to be. So that's why I'm recommending it, because it's based off of a book by the name of Push. So it was transferred from a book to a movie. But
oh,
it's
cool.
Just
have they got machines right now?
Yeah,
is it like VHS to DVD. You just put them both in, press a button, out comes an Oscar.
So yeah, it's a good story, and I wanted to recommend it because I really. I don't know. I thought it was on a really honest portrayal of, and the lead actress, I'm not even going to pronounce her name right, but they call her Gabby, who plays Precious. She's wonderful. I mean, and she was nominated for Best Actress and lost to Sandra Bullock.
Missed out. Yeah.
And she was my pick for the Oscar because she's wonderful in this movie too. I just really enjoyed the movie, so that's my pick. So if you haven't had a chance to see it, you know. And you know, you don't want to be too depressed. Go watch it. Watch it when you're happy, and then, you know, you'll even out.
Cool. I have to say, we talked about doing a Oscars prediction results things, you know, segment at one point. Mm-hmm. But looking through the list, I had only seen like one or two of the movies in each categories, which was a bad surprise because I thought I watched a lot of movies, but apparently not the right ones.
Yeah. You look back at how many lames, you're like, oh, nuts. Okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year we'll try to have an Oscar show. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we could try.
Because they do announce these quite a way
ahead of time.
Do you have like a French one? Because we've got the BAFTAs, which are the British Oscars, basically.
Yeah, we have the Caesars.
Yeah. So what yours called, sorry?
Caesars, César.
Okay, cool. And when do they happen? Do they happen before?
A little while ago.
Yeah, because we could do like just a kind of a multinational one. As soon as they're all announced, we could do our own picks, and then a couple of episodes later, we'll find out. So this time next
That's
year,
fun.
We're going to be all excited. Oh.
Okay.
I'm excited now. I'm going to be excited for
a
year. I
can tell you're excited.
Yeah,
it's going to be like I need to pee for a whole year. It's going to be unbearable, but I can't wait. I'm running on the spot.
Obviously. Well, my recommendal for today is one that was actually recommendaled by Fang, our very own Fang14 from the chat room. He sent us an email that I chose to steal and keep for myself about this very movie, which I enjoyed quite a bit. It's called Pandorum, and it's a somewhat, it's a different kind of movie from Precious. It's basically zombies in space. Which, you know, is kind of
a different
style.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, you just know. A little bit. It's the kind of movie that isn't for everyone, but it's sort of a B-series movie that's so well done that it's almost a full feature, you know, a movie for that anyone can, well, not anyone can see, but it's not the kind of direct-to-DVD movie, although it could be when you hear the premise. It's basically a guy who wakes up in this spaceship that has been sent to colonize a very faraway planet, so they are all in, like, hibernation, and they sort of wake up in shifts of 2 years, and it's a few thousand people on the ship. But when he wakes up, things are not working properly, and he's confused and disoriented, and things are messed up, and he doesn't really understand what's happening or why things are happening. And he's meeting his commanding officer, and they try to figure out things together.
I've seen this preview. This looks creepy.
It is quite creepy indeed. I won't say that I was very afraid, but at some point I was looking around and not, you know, super...
Was there like...
Not
was
totally
there...
manly at that time.
You know, I was like, I wouldn't mind having someone to hold me right now.
Was this... were there moments in the movie that were very claustrophobic?
I wouldn't, yes, somewhat claustrophobic, yes, but it's, okay, I watched it at home, and it was like the middle of the night, and it was...
I'm amazed you didn't like phone one of us up, just be like, hey guys, how's it going? Oh, nothing, no, I'm just watching a film, and it's a little bit scary. No, it's okay, it's still on, just
and,
talk.
Wait a second. So I had hung a bag on the door knob, and one of the you know,
what things did you call on the me? Bag,
one of the things on the bag sort of got loose from the knob and, you know, made a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
While I was watching the movie.
You freaked out.
Let's not avoid the question. Why was the bag on the knob?
It was the trash can that I
okay.
Brilliant.
I thought it was a signal to somebody.
Don't come in. I've rented two films tonight. One's scaring me. The other one, well, just don't come in.
You are terrible. So anyway, Pandorum, it's a really cool space/horror movie that is absolutely effective, and I would recommend to anyone who's a fan of that kind of movies. So there you go. That's Pandorum. And thank you, Fang, for giving me the recommendation that I had completely forgotten about.
It's good.
And that's it. And that is going to be it for our show, unless Nicole has some reviews she wants to read.
I do.
I'll check mine as well.
We have a couple. I have one that I'm not sure I should read because it's kind of mean to you, Patrick, but it's a 5-star review.
No, read it.
Bring it on.
You can take it, and if not, it'd be funny.
Okay, Jonic says, Patrick is wrong all the time. 5 stars.
Brilliant. I love that. That shows conviction, and that's something that should be celebrated.
Excellent.
And I hope he's writing the review kind of tongue-in-cheek, because he gets kind of mean.
No. I think this is a great thing, okay. Because if you know that I'm wrong all the time, then you can absolutely base your choices on my reviews. Mm. It's perfect. Go. If I like something, avoid it like the plague. If I really hate it, just run to the movies. It's perfect.
So he says, The Watchmen was not a good movie compared to the book. Patrick is wrong. All the movie is a crappy spoiler fest of the book. That is why you did not like the book. Moron! Duh!
Ah, okay. So you mean it wasn't over?
I thought it was just the beginning bit, and I thought that was fine.
I'm going to stop. I'll let you read it.
No. Keep going.
It gets worse. Oh, my God.
He basically just says you missed out on all the nuances of the book because you saw a crappy action movie first.
That's hardly my fault.
I know.
Then, is
you
it?
Didn't know the book was out there. Yes, I did. Okay. I didn't buy it for you yet.
Was anyone else disappointed when they opened what was clearly labeled as a graphic novel and only found one sex scene? I was upset with that, really, with Watchmen. I thought, this is just not on. It's false advertising.
Read the review to the end.
Okay. They often completely miss the point of a scene, like stupid people. Patrick, go back and read the book again, and you'll notice you missed, and then apologize on air. Otherwise, you are the worst human being to ever exist on this planet ever.
No, I think it's a little bit, it's a nice happy ending there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's giving
true.
You a little bit of a task but and a way to redeem yourself.
Here you go, Patrick. He says, but but you were right about the hangover, Nicole and Terpster. Keep up the good work.
What? This guy's a fool. What's his name? I'm going to write the letter right now. Give me his name. Go on.
I just thought it was so crazy. And
what was his name?
So I'm wrong all the time, which I was
But he says you were right about The Hangover. So it's
wrong about The Hangover, dear Jonerick.
What's his name?
Jonerick.
Jonerick.
Jonick. J-O-H-N-I-N-K.
Well, he'll know who he is.
He already will know.
But
wrong about Hangover.
Please send an email to themovielicious@frenchspin.com and explain to me exactly what it is that I missed in Watchmen, which I loved, and I really enjoyed the book too, by the way. So please explain to me, because just telling me I'm wrong is not getting us anywhere now, is it?
Well, I've written him a letter. I'll post this out now.
Little nuances.
I've just got, Jonerick, you were wrong about The Hangover. Yours, everyone. So I'm going to send that out tomorrow. Should get it probably around about Wednesday next week because of post.
Okay, another review?
Sure. Jared4315 says, awesome elite podcast. The Movielicious is an outstanding podcast. The hosts are all great and a joy to listen to. Patrick does not pull any punches when letting you know about the movies and gives great insight on other movie genres you may not know about. Nicole is great and witty in her own sense. My screen saver just went on. Sorry. My bad. And she keeps the guys in line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for today. I didn't really feel...
yeah, you're slacking today.
Yeah,
Nicole.
Just then, to be real doesn't mean you get a day off. It's just not on.
Then then we have Terpster. Well, nothing you can really say about him that hasn't been said already.
Oh, I bet I could find a lot of things that haven't been said.
He is just pure concentrated awesomeness. If you enjoy Film Sack, then subscribe to Movielicious. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
If you like Film Sack and you're waiting on the next one, just in the meantime, have the Movielicious. We need more UK reviews because we haven't had any recently. But yeah, I've got one here from Sweden. From Sweden. And it says, I love it to pieces. 5 stars by Gusten Rock. He says, Avatar, I'm really happy for you, but I'm going to let you finish. But wow, the Burning Crusade had some of the biggest blue people, glowing mushrooms, and best-looking floating islands of all time. So there you go.
That has nothing to do with our show, but fine.
It totally does. It's a Kanye on Avatar, which is what we... That's a segment in our show, is doing a Kanye.
Well, thank you, Sweden. Is that what you said?
Yes, yeah, Sweden. Sweden.
Okay, cool. And I guess that is going to
be... No French reviews?
Well, there aren't really a lot of French reviews.
They go like, if you'd like to hear a French guy speaking English, then I guess you could turn it on. But otherwise, you might as well just watch the films and get your own opinion.
The latest one, there's one in October by Sarah Dwin, by the way. One in November, one in October, one in September, and one in July. And I think that's it. So, well, if French people, if you want to leave a review in English, please.
Screw them, really, Patrick, because I've checked on both of my podcasts and also on Ladies of Elite, and not one single French review. So, I've got no time for you at the end of the day, so, oh well. They haven't got time to leave a review for us in other films. Yeah, other ones, I don't know. Anyway.
We did get one in Australia. Well, actually, we have a number in Australia, but
yeah,
there's one
Australia,
recently.
Australia, g'day, mate.
Yeah, Dark Ain says, greatest movie review show ever. I love the Movielicious and a movie review show made by real people. They don't just overanalyze the movies and give reviews that that your average movie reviewer can relate to. I find this show, after finding this show, I now listen to almost all the other shows done by the hilarious Terpster, Nicole and Patrick. Well, thank you. How do you pronounce
thank you.
It? Terpster, how do you pronounce his name?
Darkane. I like Darkane better, actually. Darkane. I think that's right.
And, Nicole, don't beat yourself over the head because you couldn't read the review. It's written in Australian, so.
Yeah, it's all upside down. What's that about?
I give up. I'm done.
Okay, that's fine. You know what? You can't give up yet because you have to tell people where they can find you elsewhere on the net.
Okay. They can find me at twitter.com/NicoleSpag, as well as on Ladies of Elite, which our latest episode has Terpster on it.
It's and my favorite episode.
You're very funny on that. I love the ending.
I would say he was moderately funny.
Just moderately?
Actually heard the ending's actually the worst part for a lot of people because they didn't want it to end. So for most of them, they say that's the worst bit. But yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
And you, Terpster, where can people find you?
I get really worried about doing this because I notice my voice changes when I start doing that, but I'll give it a go anyway. You can listen to my podcast. You can check me out over at terpstervision.tv. On there, you can find links to Giant Enemy Crab, a general gaming show, and the incredible podcast of Amazing Awesomeness with Mike Schramm, where we talk about a little bit of everything. You can also obviously listen to me here on the Movielicious, as you're doing right now. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter. twitter.com/the_T, and hopefully fairly soon you'll be able to hear me on yet another podcast. But we'll find out about that in a couple of weeks, maybe. I don't know, it all depends on time.
Patrick, are you going to be on the Incredible Podcast?
Well, it's sort of difficult because, you know,
we're a little bit too gamey, apparently. We're too game for him. He doesn't like game people. Apparently he's gamophobic.
But I will ask, however, when you are going to officially shorten the title to The Incredible Podcast and not the stupid The Chippewa. Incredible Podcast of Amazing Awesomeness.
Yeah.
Which is too gimmicky.
It is. Well, the URL is incrediblepodcast.com. Yeah. We found by adding of Amazing Awesomeness, we kind of avoided any similar named podcasts. We couldn't find any, but we were pretty sure that must be an incredible podcast. Hmm. So we added it for kind of safety. But okay. I think over time, it will be shortened just to Incredible Podcast or Tipo.
And then I will say, haha. See,
uh-huh. I was right. My French intellect saw through that visage, whatever the thing is, from the beginning.
Okay. And you know what you can do other than all this? You can go to twitter.com/notpatrick and follow me. And that would be fantastic. And that is going to be it for us. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks. That will be March 25th. We will review The Man Who Stared at Ghosts. No, The Man
Goats.
Who Stare at Goats. I Love You, Philip Morris, probably. Yeah. And maybe Crazy Heart. I don't know if it's
or maybe A Serious Man. I don't know.
Maybe A Serious Man.
Maybe all
yeah,
of
we'll
them.
See.
Just do like a super, just films. Just loads of films. And then it gets to recommendals and we'd be like, oh, we've run out of time. But watch all those movies. I don't know.
Let's do that. Talk to you in 2 weeks, people. Thanks for being here. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Did I say that too game at the end? Bye.
I miss you.
I do miss you.
Come back.
Oh, yeah. Right.
What?
Nothing. Ninja Nicole.
Step it and dance. Step it and dance.
I feel like I need a beverage.
I think I need a beverage. Can we grab a drink quickly?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to be 2 seconds, maybe more, because I've got to go get... Okay, I'm gone.
Well, maybe I'm going to go to the restroom.
Okay. Does that mean I have to make fun of you on my own? Wee-wee. Fee-fee. Fo-fo.
I'm back. Oh, Patrick's gone. C'est bon. Everyone who's really gay, say nothing right now. Okay, I'm not gay. Nicole, you gay? No?
What? Yeah.
Are you gay? Oh, you must be.
And dance.